It doesn't happen often that going into the Academy Awards that I'm pretty confident with any one particular category, but in the case of the 96th Academy Award for movies from the year of 2023, the one category that I was very certain was going to go the way it did was for Best Actress. I want to give a big thanks to my cousin Roya Tavakolian, who joins me on this episode as we talk about how Emma Stone and Yorgos Lanthimos take viewers on a truly unforgettable experience. Today, we're talking about Poor Things. Let's talk for a minute. This is a spoiler review episode of Poor Things. Pause this if you have not seen the movie already.
Definitely. Go watch it immediately.
Please watch it first.
Not with your family.
Yeah.
Not with your parents, not with any children. Watch it with people that you're comfortable seeing very sexually explicit things on the TV screen with.
And with that, now you're ready. When I heard about this film, Poor Things, I'm at home, I get a text message, and I see right away that you're like, Saurabh, Poor Things. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I texted you as soon as I came out of the theater.
I just remember that you're like, you need to see this. Emma Stone's, right? Like,
yes. I mean, Emma Stone's performance was just, I was shocked. I was like, that is like maybe the best acting performance I've ever seen by far.
You knew she was going to get the Academy Award.
I said, if she doesn't, I mean, the Oscars are just like in the shitter forever.
And I remember along with that, though, you gave me a note. You gave me a warning.
Oh, yeah. I was like, get ready to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, but there was one other thing. You said that this movie is maybe not one to watch.
Oh, with your parents.
Yeah.
Definitely don't watch it with your parents.
So for today's episode, we're talking about Poor Things. It was directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. This is the second time for a feature film that Emma Stone and him have worked together. The last one was The Favorite. I haven't seen that one. Have you seen that one?
No, I need to.
Heard good things. Olivia Colman, she won an Oscar in it for supporting actress. Emma Stone, yeah, was in that. But before we get into all that, the rating. Out of 10, what would you give this one?
You know, you asked me that before, so I've been thinking about it. And like my immediate reaction is just 10. And then I was like, okay, well, Roya, don't be like so eager and whatever. So I tried to think about things that I didn't like about it to see if I could dock points. To be honest, I really can't think of anything I didn't like about it. So I'm gonna go with 10.
I was a solid 10 on it as well. So let's start then with the pros. And there's a lot. Again, the cons, I think, is going to be kind of a tougher side with this film. I think we agree, Emma Stone.
So it's a combination of the role itself. This role was created as, to me, I would imagine, like an actor's dream. Because it is... the role itself, it requires a massive range of portraying a different people, essentially, within one person at different ages, at different mental capacities. And that is, you know, often like what people really rave about with like a good acting performance is that the role, it's if the role itself also like gives you that ability to play with it. And then Emma Stone stood up to that plate and fucking grand slammed it. Oh, sorry. Am I not supposed to curse?
No. We fucking curse on this one. It's all right.
It's not a family-friendly movie. It's not going to be a family-friendly podcast episode. Yeah. Yeah, no, she did such an incredible job. And I work with kids. So the second time I watched the movie, I was really especially paying attention to the beginning where she is mentally like a baby and then a toddler and like a child. And I was just floored again to be like, she must have like studied the facial expressions, the way that they move, the way that they play with things, the way that they talk. It was just perfect.
And there's actually some really great clips online that the director, Yorgos Lanthimos, got Emma Stone and the rest of the cast together. And we're like, okay, just as part of figuring out these roles and like what I'm going to be asking of you, we're going to do these like weird role-playing games and just games, you know? And so I think it got them like ready to be, you know, in that mindset.
Oh, cool. I want to play those games. What are the games?
Seriously. You know, I mean
that sounds really fun.
The whole, yeah, I can't imagine what it was like just filming this whole thing, besides planning all of it, but just for the fact of like trying to get into the minds of these people, and then like Emma Stone's character at different stages. Yeah, Emma Stone was phenomenal in this. I'm so glad that she got the Academy Award. Look, I thought that Lily Gladstone was good in Killers of the Flower Moon, but I'm sorry, it was not next level like Emma Stone's performance was. Another thing too that I think, again, I really still think the celebration in this movie is her performance. What I did enjoy though also was we don't often get to see Mark Ruffalo play a villain.
Or yes.
He was the villain, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't call him a villain. I think he was the necessary scandalous evil. Not, he wasn't evil, but he, you know, he, like, she needed to be exposed to kind of the seedy dark side of the world to then like grow. He also portrays the man who's really just a sad little boy inside and throws tantrums when they don't get what they want, which was a fantastic commentary.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, really, I gotta hand it to Yorgos Lanthimos, you know, the directing, the writing. To me, it just felt like a big part of the story was talking about control and then also and freedom, right? Like
and societal norms.
And societal norms.
And patriarchy. That, I mean, that's probably one of the biggest things, is it highlighted the whole concept of being a sex worker that has, because of patriarchy, has been made to be something that is shameful and horrible and bad and illegal and all of these things, where Emma Stone, she's like, all right, we're in this new city. We have no money. It's a challenge. What can we do? And she's like, whoa, great. I'm horny. I want to get fucked. I need a place to stay and I need money. And I can just do all these things at once and I can provide for myself. Great. Like the oldest profession in time. And it's a woman having autonomy over her own body. That whole thing has been made not okay by society. And of course, we're trying to change that. Some of us.
And it's interesting to see how, like, Ruffalo's character, that he'll say one thing, but then when Stone's character then is trying to, let's say, take from what she's learned and apply it to her own life, suddenly he's not happy. Made me as a viewer feel like, okay, all I really wanted was like this person who's like my toy and will do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, this is just, first of all, amazing storytelling, powerful message. Ruffalo playing that role, that was something else.
He did a great job. I actually enjoyed seeing him cry like a baby and throw a literal tantrum because he wasn't getting control over this woman.
And
I was like, yes, this is hilarious.
And then Willem Dafoe being like the, I guess you would call it the Frankenstein doctor of the of the movie. But there was something that like kept happening throughout the movie that it just made me laugh, is that she would refer to him as God.
Right, because his name is Godric.
But in the context of the story, I'm like, this just feels so weird.
Oh, right.
This is like, okay, this guy is your god, essentially. I know she means it literally with the name, but...
Oh, it was a really smart move on the writers, I don't know, whoever like made that decision, because that then is a commentary on modern medicine and how we play God as surgeons, as doctors, how, you know, we do what we think is right or what is best for people, and the whole God complex that comes with being in that field. And yeah, it's fascinating.
I mean, his character, and then Rami Youssef, who plays his apprentice. And I thought it was really interesting to see how, after Stone's character, Bella Baxter, that's her name in the movie. After Bella goes through all the craziness, of that movie. Now, it doesn't have to go this way. Again, like, the story can go any number of ways, but she sees this guy and he's like, you're actually a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could make this work, you know, like, I'm just, I don't know, that whole kind of thing, which, because I thought this character was going to be a throwaway character, but also he ended up being kind of an important character too, but from Bella's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that the movie never lost that, never left Bella, and like just this whole arc of craziness that she went through and then taking control back. You know, she sees what happened to Margot Qualley's character. She also learns the truth about herself. this is like just truly a one of a kind movie. I'm mm-hmm. never going to forget this movie.
I love the part where she's walking with him and she says, you know, I think she says, I want to marry you. Well, I like the part where Emma Stone says, I like this practical love that we have. And he goes, oh, but I want to assure you, like, my feelings for you are very passionate too. And she goes, oh, you're adorable. But, you know, it's like she's gone out and she's had real hot, like passionate, just purely physical, an experience with Mark Ruffalo's character and then like, you know, random other people. And she's experienced that. But she then is coming back to, I forget his name.
I know
her betrothed.
Oh, wait. The apprentice?
Yeah.
The actor I know is Rami Youssef.
Yeah, so she comes back to Rami Youssef and what does she say? Hold on, now I can't remember.
But I do remember that part about, oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. Like,
that was really
she
good.
She comes back to Rami Youssef and she's like, oh, that's adorable. But she basically realizes that like the person is what's more important. I think she sees his like character and that he loves her and actually like has her best interests and that that's what's more important to her than just fit purely like physical hot sex.
There's just, there's so much about this movie to like, and it's just so unique. Again, from you've heard us talk about these story elements, you know, the cast involved, they were all fantastic in it. The visual style was very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like like theatrical and also kind of like you're looking at times through a peephole, kind of like the fisheye, like distorted look was really interesting. The skies, like the kind of replacement backgrounds were really, you know, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, just, you know, the music when, in particular, I'm thinking of when Bella is doing the dancing scene.
Yes.
That was something else completely.
I was wondering if that was the actual song that was playing when she was doing that dance or if there was, it almost looks like there's a different song playing that
probably.
She's dancing to. And then I don't know if, but it somehow it works and it's so strange and unexpected and beautiful.
And I think that speaks to her as an actor.
Exactly.
You know, like, and Lanthimos also just as a director kind of giving her the room to do her thing, you know? And also, I mean, they trusted each other. I guess now after the previous film, The Favorite, and then, you know, working through most of this one, like that it got to a point of like, all right, we're just going to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just from a pros side, like it's a lot of greats, a lot of wonderful things with this movie. For the con side, I'm just trying to think, there wasn't much. This is one of those movies where I'm really reaching here for something negative, right?
Yeah.
The runtime of the movie is about 2 hours and 20 minutes. That gets to a point where you can maybe start to feel like it's long, but even that I don't want to complain about because
mm-mm.
I wasn't really like looking at my watch. I didn't really feel at any point that it had a lull or lag. Most of it was useful, but I say most. The one part that I felt like could have been left out, there's a minor character played by Jared Carmichael on the boat. Did anything that they talked about help Bella's story?
Well, yeah, I think when he takes her, because his whole thing is that he's a cynic. They're talking about philosophy and Bella is coming out of like her kind of adolescence and childlike positive view on the world and is all about wanting the world to make the world better. That's her purpose from the beginning to the end of the story. And she needed to be introduced to this person who is seemingly a good person and also a cynic. And so he takes her to the slum to show her suffering, nothing but suffering and pain. And that moves her and affects her probably the most deeply that we see throughout her whole story. And she needed to go to that depth to see human suffering to then be able to come back from it and say, okay, am I now going to be a cynic or am I going to continue to have a positive outlook on the world and want to make it better? And then in the fact that he also says, I was cruel. I wanted to hurt you because I saw that you are just this bright, happy, positive, sunny person. And a part of me did it on purpose because I just wanted you to not be that way and be suffering with me. So it was kind of like that concept of misery loves company. And he apologized, but she also looked at him and says, oh, you're just a, like a sad little boy. you know?
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, he says, I suppose so, or something like that. So I think that actually was an important, very important character to be introduced.
You just reminded me of that. Like, that actually was when she started to change direction herself, you know, like, mm-hmm. in a very big way. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, nothing can really bring like the heights of joy, like deep suffering. You know, you kind of have to go in both directions and be open to it.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't have a negative really for this one. Like, this is a really unusual film where, and I mean that in a good way. It's like, I wish more weird, and I mean that really in the best of ways, weird movies like this, I wish more of them would be made.
Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that I would have left out, the one moment that made me truly uncomfortable, and I am not uncomfortable with most things. I work in the medical field, so all the like stabbing and body, like that stuff was nothing, like no big deal. Sexual stuff doesn't make me uncomfortable, whatever. But the scene when she's working in the brothel in Paris and the one father brings his two sons for education. That made me really, really uncomfortable. I can't really figure out why it was necessary. Like, it seemed like that kind of montage that they do of her being with all the different men, I guess they were trying to show like the range of all different kinds of people that come to be patrons of a brothel. But I just really didn't like that. I did not like that at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I felt the same. I was very uncomfortable during those scenes too. And this is not with regarding to that, you know, the father and the kids there and all that. That was very uncomfortable. When talking, you know how we had mentioned already that, okay, this is not a movie to see with family, with your parents, whatever. So, and when I've been talking about it, I've been saying, yes, there's a lot of strong sexuality in the movie, but there's a point to it. It's there on purpose because you will see it serves a very important story device. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These themes that are covered, sex is a big part of it.
Right.
So it's, I'm hoping that none of you listening are like, discouraged. In fact, like, I hope this is making you curious, because this movie, I'm telling you, is a one of a kind.
Well, we already told them they need to go watch it before they listen to this. So hopefully they listened. Yeah.
Good point. And actually, I mean, after seeing this, I'm really excited because there's already another film in the can with this same group. Yorgos Lanthimos directing, you have Emma Stone, you have Willem Dafoe and Margot Qualley. That's the same group, at least from this last movie. And the name of the film is called Kinds of Kindness. If I'm remembering correctly, it's going to be out in June already.
Oh, wow.
I don't even care to know more. I'm going to go.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so now, having gone through this and talking about this, do you still stand by your rating of 10 out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could say 9.9 just for the one bit that I would have taken out, but really, it was a 10.
Mm. There are a few of my friends who give me some shit because they always say that I am a very easy grader on movies. And this is going to piss them off again because it's a 10 for me. The movie as a whole just was very powerful, very, you know, impactful to me, that I'm still talking about it, thinking about it. We're talking about it. I stand by the 10 out of 10 for sure. And it's still available now. You watched it on
Hulu. Yeah.
So Hulu, for those of you who haven't seen it, if you didn't listen before and we spoiled all this for you. Well, that sucks, but...
You know, I actually went into it not knowing anything about it. I actually went for my friend Olga's birthday. I was invited to go and I just said yes. I was like, yeah, I want to hang out with you guys. I'm in whatever it is. So having zero knowledge of what I was getting into, I actually think it was great because it was extra startling and strange. And I was like laughing half of the time laughing because it was funny, half the time laughing because it was a little uncomfortable, but also just really amazed.
So note to all of you out there, this is one that if you don't know like much about this movie at all, keep it that way and then go to Hulu now, stream it. And then it is available to rent and stream on all platforms right now. It's kind of in the line of what you were saying, by the way. You knew nothing about it. And so that it was funny, it made you uncomfortable. This is just a little bit of a tangent, but that's what happened with me with seeing the show 6 Feet Under. You ever watch that show on HBO?
I watched like a couple episodes and then I think I got distracted from it.
Our cousin Ali had told me about it and I checked it out, but the few times I watched it was with family, with my mom in particular, if you're listening right now. And let me just tell you, that is not a show. That is like the poor things of episodic content. Great show, by the way, but yeah, you don't...
Uncomfortable.
to say the least. Just like this movie, that was a great show as well. So this is one that I really do hope you all check out. I am very confident that you're not going to regret it. Check it out. Let us know what you think. And thank you for listening.